Hey, this is John Lee Dumas from EO Fire, and you're listening to Elective Rotation with Pharmacy Joe. You must be prepared to ignite.
What's up, Pharmacy Nation? I am Pharmacy Joe. Thank you for listening to the Elective Rotation, a critical care pharmacy podcast. This is episode 87. In this episode, I'll discuss an article about using platelet infusions to treat intracerebral hemorrhage from antiplatelet medications, answer the drug information question, why were the contraindications to alteplase for acute ischemic stroke changed, and share a resource I used to learn how to recognize ECG rhythms. I have all the evidence supporting today's show linked up in the show notes at pharmacyjoe.com/episode87. If you know someone who would find this podcast helpful, please share it with them. The Pharmacy Nation Slack group is a free community of professionals from around the world collaborating using real-time messaging. I like to think of it as a modern and more convenient version of an email listserv. I invite you to join me and the hundreds of other Pharmacy Nation members there by signing up at pharmacynation.org. The article I'd like to discuss in this episode is the PATCH trial, or platelet transfusion versus standard care after acute stroke due to spontaneous cerebral hemorrhage associated with antiplatelet therapy. The lead author is M. Iram Baharglu, and it was published in the journal Lancet May 2016 via online first access. A 2013 article concluded that giving platelet transfusions to patients on antiplatelet medications who experience intracerebral hemorrhage did not improve outcomes. Nevertheless, platelet transfusion has still been used frequently for treating ICH in patients on antiplatelet medications. The authors of this article sought to investigate whether platelet transfusion plus standard care compared to standard care alone reduced death or dependence after intracerebral hemorrhage associated with antiplatelet medication use. The trial was a multicenter, open-label, masked endpoint, randomized investigation at 60 hospitals in the Netherlands, United Kingdom, and France. The collaborators enrolled adults within 6 hours of supratentorial intracerebral hemorrhage symptom onset if they had used antiplatelet therapy for at least 7 days beforehand and had a Glasgow Coma Scale score of at least 8. The study collaborators randomly assigned participants to receive either standard care or standard care with platelet transfusion within 90 minutes of diagnostic brain imaging. Participants and local investigators giving interventions were not masked to treatment allocation, but allocation was concealed from outcome assessors and investigators analyzing data. The primary outcome was death or dependence rated on the modified Rankin scale at 3 months. Between early 2009 and late 2015, 41 sites enrolled 190 participants. 97 participants were randomly assigned to platelet transfusion and 93 to standard care. The odds of death or dependence at 3 months were higher in the platelet transfusion group than in the standard care group. The adjusted odds ratio was 2.05, and this was statistically significant. 42% of participants who received platelet transfusion had a serious adverse event during their hospital stay, as did 29% who received standard care. 24% of participants assigned to platelet transfusion and 17% assigned to standard care died during the hospital stay. The authors concluded that platelet transfusion seems inferior to standard care for people taking antiplatelet therapy before intracerebral hemorrhage. Platelet transfusion cannot be recommended for this indication in clinical practice. The study had a relatively small sample size, and enrollment was very slow, with sites averaging less than one enrollment per year. However, the study is the best available evidence to answer the question of whether patients with intracerebral hemorrhage after antiplatelet medication use should receive platelet transfusions. The drug information question for this episode is, why were the contraindications to alteplase for acute ischemic stroke changed? The short answer is lawyers. Back in February 2015, the alteplase prescribing information underwent a radical change in the contraindication section. Many contraindications that were based on trial exclusion criteria and common sense were removed. One would think that this change was based on some new evidence about the drug's safety, but that's not the case. The change was made as part of a routine update to the prescribing information to ensure that the information is consistent with the physician labeling rule, which was instituted by the FDA in 2006. The physician labeling rule provides a standardized format with the goal of providing clear and concise prescribing information that is easier for healthcare professionals to access, read, and use. The physician labeling rule definitions of contraindications and warnings and precautions are as follows. For contraindications, a drug should be contraindicated only in those clinical situations for which the risk from use clearly outweighs any possible therapeutic benefit. Only known hazards, not theoretical possibilities, can be the basis for a contraindication. And it's that last sentence really that's responsible for most of the contraindications that were removed from the alteplase prescribing information. Now, as for warnings and precautions, the warnings and precautions section is intended to identify and describe a discrete set of adverse reactions and other potential safety hazards that are serious or are otherwise clinically significant because they have implications for prescribing decisions or for patient management. For an adverse event to be included in the section, there should be reasonable evidence of a causal association between the drug and the adverse event, but a causal relationship need not have been definitively established. Now, the AHA-ASA recognized that the change to the prescribing information was not made in the context of new scientific information, and they have published a document which I have linked up in the show notes at pharmacyjoe.com/episode87. And the document's titled Scientific Rationale for the Inclusion and Exclusion Criteria for IV Alteplase in Acute Ischemic Stroke. And the AHA feels that clinicians should use the science in that document along with their stroke management guidelines for stroke treatment and management decisions. And the resource I'd like to share on this episode is the website SkillStat. I have it linked in the show notes as well. Now, the website SkillStat has a great online ECG simulator and training app. I mentioned it very briefly back at pharmacyjoe.com/episode10 when I discussed how the pharmacist and the ECG should be friends. The app is called the 6-Second ECG. It can be used to quickly learn to identify 27 of the most common ECG rhythms. In preparation mode, the app displays and thoroughly explains each ECG rhythm. The app also includes a gamified challenge mode where the user attempts to correctly identify 10 rhythms in the span of 60 seconds. I primarily used this online app when I was learning ECG rhythm recognition myself. Listeners can support the show when they shop using my link to Amazon. It will cost you no extra money, and I will receive a small commission from Amazon. Just bookmark and use my link, pharmacyjoe.com/shop, to take you to Amazon each time you shop. Thank you so much for listening. I'll see you in the next episode of the Elective Rotation.